open your Bibles with me to Luke 24. The title of this message is According to the Scriptures. I'm not going to preach very long this evening, but what I'm going to have to say is very important. Let it not be measured by the length of the sermon. Let it be measured by the truth of it, according to the Scriptures. Let's read beginning at verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Our Lord had risen. The stone was rolled away from the door. And they entered in to the sepulchre. And they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, the angels said unto them, Why seek ye him that liveth? Why seek ye him that liveth among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to the 11. Judas was dead, having killed himself. But they told these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. These were the women at the tomb, at the sepulchre, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now listen to this next verse. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. The disciples didn't believe. You remember Thomas said, I won't believe unless I put my hand in the nail prints and in the wound in his side. I'm not going to believe. And they didn't believe. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, verse 13. Now this was Sunday afternoon. 3 days after our Lord had been crucified. This was the day of the resurrection, Sunday afternoon. And behold, two of the disciples, one of them was a man named Cleopas. I don't know who the other was. This is not two of the 11 now. This is two believers, two disciples. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. That's a little village which was from Jerusalem about 7 or 8 miles. It says here 70 furlongs. That's 7 or 8 miles from Jerusalem. These two men on Sunday afternoon after the resurrection, these two believers were walking along, going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they talked together of all things which had happened. Don't you know that they had a lot to say? I believe they talked about the arrest of Christ and his trial. They talked about Judas, whom they knew very well. Judas selling the Lord, betraying him with a kiss, taking money to betray the Lord, then killing himself. They talked about Peter's denial. Peter was a close friend and brother, and Peter denied that he knew the Lord. Talked about the Lord's death on the cross, what a horrible death it was, and how he was taken down dead and placed in the tomb, how brokenhearted they were, disappointed they were. They were sad. They talked about all these things. That's what they were talking about. Verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, what's going on? What's happening? Jesus himself drew near and went with them. In other words, a lot of things here that are not explained. Our Lord had risen from the tomb and he had secured other garments. He was a man. He was crucified, buried as a man, and rose as a man. And had a robe on, probably, maybe a hood, I do not know, but it said he came and started walking beside these two men. And verse 16 said their eyes were holden that they should not know him. In other words, God made it so that they didn't know him. They didn't, if they'd looked into his face, Bob, I believe they would have known him. But it says their eyes were holden that they didn't know him. Look at verse 31, that same chapter. Their eyes were opened then and they knew him later on. Then he vanished out of their sight. But here our Lord came and walked right along beside them as these two men were walking along. And he said to them, I believe they would have recognized his voice too, don't you? But they didn't. And there's a purpose for this. And he said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Why are you so sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? Have you just got in town? They'd had a crucifixion here just Friday, buried him, and Sunday, so forth. And this was just Sunday. And he said, what things? You know, I've often said to you, our Lord doesn't ask questions for information. Now, anytime you read in the Scripture where our God asks someone a question, it's not for information. It's to hear what that person has to say about this subject. Like he asked Cain, where's your brother? He asked Adam, where are you? All of these questions are not for information. They're to have us express what's on our heart. And he said, what things? And they said unto him, what concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Now watch this. But we thought, we trusted, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Now the cross wasn't in their plans. The cross wasn't in the plans of Peter and the disciples. I'll tell you what was in their plans. A Jewish kingdom. A mighty kingdom like David's kingdom. A restoration of Israel. Even a powerful kingdom in which they would rule and reign with Christ. I believe that was on their minds. Now, let me show you something. Turn to Matthew 16. Let's just hold that right there. We thought, they said, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They were looking for a king, not a lamb. They were looking for a ruler, not a sacrifice. They were looking for someone on the throne to reign and deliver them from the bondage of Rome, not from the bondage of sin. They weren't looking for a cross, but a crown. But there's no crown without the cross. There's no kingdom without a purchase of the people by his blood. But anyway, Matthew 16, look at this just a moment. Matthew 16, 21. This is Peter speaking for all of them, I think, here. In Matthew 16, 21, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. From that time forth, that was earlier. Bob, that was kind of early in his ministry. He'd been From that time he taught them, the Son of Man must be lifted up. I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer these things. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine that? Saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This is the last thing you want to do is die. This shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. But let's don't be too hard on these fellas. I tell you, redemption's a mystery. The ways of God, the thoughts of God, the purposes of God are as difficult for me to understand as it is for them. I mean, even as enlightened as we are. Think how much more information we have than they have. And yet all of these daily occurrences and mysteries of God and acts of God and the good providence of God, I don't understand. I don't understand. And these men were just speaking their minds. They did not understand. They did not understand. All right, back at the text, Luke 24. But that doesn't excuse us. Ignorance that we're supposed to believe God. And besides all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Now, well, listen to this. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. These women went to the sepulchre, and they astonished us. Verse 23, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels. These women told us. They went to the sepulchre, and it was empty. They found not his body, but they saw two angels. Which these two angels told these women he was alive. And certain of them which were with us, Peter, John, went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said. Now watch this. But him they saw not. They still didn't see him. All right. Then he said to them, our Lord Jesus, here's a gentle but a firm rebuke. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. My friends, to him give all the prophets witness. But you know, this is the cry of all the prophets. Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm or power of the Lord revealed? O fools and slow of heart to believe. Like Paul rebuking the Galatians, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now watch this. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Ought not the Christ? Isn't this what the Scripture says about the Christ? Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? This is the heart of the gospel, the sufferings of Christ. The blood is the very heart of the gospel. This is the very foundation of redemption. The blood of Christ, the sufferings of Christ. Let me show you that. Here, let me just give you these four things right here. Listen to them. Now he said to these men, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all these prophets. The prophets taught that he would suffer. Moses said in Genesis 3:15, God is speaking to Satan. He said, thou shalt bruise his heel. Bruise him. He has to be bruised. That's what he's saying about the seed of woman. He'll be bruised. Psalm 22. They read this psalm. It's the psalm of the Messiah. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou far from helping me? I can tell all my bones. Dogs have compassed me about, poured out his soul unto death. What about Isaiah 53? They read that. The prophet said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. By his stripes we're healed. It pleased God to bruise him. What about Daniel? Listen, turn to Daniel 9. You see, these are things the prophets wrote. This is what the Lord is saying. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking to these two men who are so full of doubts and unbelief. Look at Daniel 9. I want you to look at this, verse 26. These are the scriptures. Daniel 9, 26. And after 62 weeks shall the Christ, Messiah, be cut off. But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And to the end of the war, desolations are determined. The Messiah is going to be cut off. He says to these men, you didn't believe what the prophet said. Ought not the Christ to have suffered? That's what it says here, they suffered. You suppose they ever read this? Turn to Zechariah. This is one of the last books in the Old Testament. You know these men were familiar with these scriptures, and it just would seem to one that when Christ fulfilled what he said, I must needs go to Jerusalem, suffer, die. Look at Zechariah 12, or 13, verse 7. Zechariah 13, 7. That's next to the last book in the Old Testament. Now listen. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. This is God speaking. Saith the Lord of hosts, smite him. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And I'll turn my hand upon the little ones. It ought not Christ to have suffered? It's what the prophet said. Now watch secondly. The Old Testament sacrifice. These men were familiar with the blood shed in the Old Testament. Let me tell you something. The first blood shed on this earth, when God made this world, what was the first blood shed? First drop of blood. You see, men didn't eat meat back then. They ate fruit and vegetables. There was no death on this earth before Adam sinned. What was the first blood shed? God slew an animal and took the skin and covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve. That's the first blood shed. It was shed to cover nakedness. They knew that. What's the second blood shed? First human blood shed on this earth. The first human blood shed on this earth was a man who was angry over the blood shed to cover sin. He killed his brother because his brother didn't bring his works. He brought the blood of the lamb. They knew the Passover lamb. Don't you know they knew about the Passover lamb? The atonement. Don't you know these men knew about the high priest going into the Holy of Holies, the high priest once a year, not without blood, which he sprinkled on the mercy seat containing the broken law for his own sins and the sins of the people once a year? It's called the atonement. And that's the reason Christ said, O fools and slow of heart to believe the prophets. Ought not the Christ to have suffered? The prophets said he must. The sacrifices said he must. Listen, the covenant of mercy said he must. Paul wrote about it. He said, this taught him the shepherd of the sheep, the chief shepherd of the everlasting covenant, the blood of the everlasting covenant. He called him the surety of the covenant. He called him the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then watch this. And Job raises these questions, this issue. Don't you know these men were familiar with Job? This is the thing that I'm trying to get across tonight. We're as familiar with the scriptures, both old and new, as those men were. And yet, their familiarity with the scriptures didn't open their eyes They didn't see what the prophets were saying. Ought not Christ to have suffered? This is what the character of God demands, the suffering of our substitute. Job and his friends kept raising that issue. Turn to Job 14. Let me show you two or three words here. Job 14. Job 15. Job 15, verse 14. Now, listen to these words. In Job 14, 15. Now, this is the oldest book in the Bible. This is the oldest book in the Bible. I don't know when Job lived, but it's the oldest book in the Bible. He lived before Moses. And Job and his friends raised these questions. What is man that he should be clean? What's the word clean? Holy. Or he that's born of woman that he should be righteous. Holy and righteous. Behold, God puts no trust in his saints. The heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man that drinks iniquity like water? Here are two things raised. How's he going to be holy? How's he going to be righteous? Turn to Job 25. Job 25. Listen to him. He's raising this issue. This is interesting. Job 25, verse 4. How can man be just? How can man be justified with God? There's the character of God. God is holy, righteous, and just. Is he not? Well, Job raises this question. Then how can man be holy, righteous, and just? There's just one way, and that's the blood. So that's the reason our Lord, back to our text now in Luke 24, our Lord said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now watch this. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. The things concerning himself. That's what the scriptures are all about. Now look over, if you will. Well, let's read this right here. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as they set at meat, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scriptures? The Scriptures. That's what this thing of preaching is all about, opening to us the Scriptures. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's summing up his ministry among them in 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel. I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. By which also you're saved, by that gospel, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, this is what I preached to you, first of all, that which also I received, which I also received. I can't preach what I don't know, what I haven't learned, what I haven't been taught, what God didn't reveal to me. So he said, I preached to you what I received. Here it is. Now listen, how that the Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Listen. And that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. According as it was prophesied. This is what the Bible's all about. It's Christ in promise. God promised the seed of woman. He promised the seed of Abraham. He promised the offspring of David. Christ and his death is not only the promise, but it's the prophecy of the Word. It's pattern pictured in the Word. Christ in person comes in the Scriptures, in the New Testament. In the Scriptures. Now back to my text, and let me wind this up. Luke 24. So our Lord then appeared to the disciples down here in verse 33. And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. They told how that he'd been with them. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have you any meat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. He took it and did eat before them. Now listen. And he said unto them, here's our foundation, the scriptures. The object of faith is Christ. The object of faith is Christ. Christ in his person and work. How he loved us and gave himself for us, suffered and died, obeyed the law as our representative, suffered and died and rose again, ascended as our advocate, intercessor, mediator. But this is the foundation. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me." It's the scripture. And then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. It's according to the scriptures. We can't preach without Christ and the gospel and salvation without preaching the word. And what we're trying to do here, get these men, elders, to stand here and read the word, and I read the word, and when I'm away, the elders read the word and preach the word. Your faith has got to be in Christ, and the foundation of your faith has got to be, "Thus saith the Lord." Not what we think, what we suppose. It's what does God say. This is what our Lord is teaching his disciples. And he said unto them, verse 46, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Everything our Lord is and did and does is the fulfillment of the word. And with your patience, I want to show you one more thing before I close. Matthew chapter 1. And get your pencil out a minute, and we'll show you the importance of this according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. He told the Pharisees one time, he said, "You search the scriptures, but they are they that testify of me." Now, verse 21 of Matthew 1, listen to this. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." Underscore that. All of this was done, that the announcement to Joseph, the incarnation in the womb of the virgin, it was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. It's spoken by the prophet, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, call his name Emmanuel." All right, now look at chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 4. And verse 3, Matthew 2, 3. Listen, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where the Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Underscore that. That's where he's going to be born. They knew that, Tom, didn't they? That's what Micah said, didn't he? Fulfill what the prophet said. Look down at verse 15. Or verse 14 of that same chapter, Matthew 2. "And when he arose, he took the young child, his mother, by night and departed unto Egypt." Joseph and Mary took the baby, Jesus, and headed for Egypt. verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it, underscore this, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. That's in Hosea. Everything that Christ did on behalf of his people is according to the Scripture. It's all written. Two more. Listen. Look at verse 17. Verse 16, Matthew 2. Then Herod, when he saw he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, who would not be comforted because they are not. Herod had all these children killed and fulfilled the Scriptures. Look at verse 23. And they came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, sometime when you have a lot of time, you get your concordance. And that's right, Cecil, look up fulfilled and go through the New Testament. He cried, I thirst, the fulfillment of Scripture. They didn't break his bones. It shall be fulfilled by the Scripture. Not a bone shall be broken. They cast lots for his garments, fulfilled the Scripture. Everything he said and did is a fulfillment of Scripture. He died for our sins according to the Scripture. He redeemed us according to the Scripture. If we could just get acquainted with that which is our foundation, the Scriptures. Christ identified, glorified in the Scriptures. How precious they are.